It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Well, welcome back after that 1 minute break. I don't know if I was ready, but the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. And we're having a good time here today. And, you know, we have a special treat here. I know he's been on with Ernie a couple times, but he's never been on with me. And I have a different set of, you know, questions that I'd like to ask him, you know, a little bit more scientific. And a little bit more, you know, personal probably. But this guy is a true friend of mine. His name is Paul Gamil. He is the editor-in-chief of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. Say hello, Paul.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back in the Freedoms Phoenix studios with a more sane talk show host than typically is here.
No one's gladder than I am to have you here today. So anyway, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to be talking about Freedoms Phoenix, and we're going to be talking about the flu vaccine, the mandatory, because, you know, Pal's a microbiologist by trade, and he knows some stuff. He is wise in the ways of science. Anyway, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about Freedoms Phoenix and why he chose Freedoms Phoenix when, like myself, I feel that I could do whatever I want, and Powell feels the same. Anyway, you want to just introduce yourself there, pal?
I could, but the question on my mind is, are they going to let Ernie back into the country? I mean, you know, I assume, you know, he's not back here because they haven't let him back in the United States. He's supposed to be back here today.
The phone call I received was very short and very interesting. He said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that I'm not coming back till Thursday, and the show is yours. Well, hey, I got to go." So I'm like, oh my goodness. Anyway, I got Powell here. I called him up and I was like, "Hey man, you want to help me out in the last hour?" And here we are, because, you know, Powell is a very interesting soul. He's kind of soft spoken, but he's direct in what he believes in, and I really respect that.
Yeah, assuming, of course, I can hold a coherent thought together for more than 30 seconds.
Oh my goodness.
But essentially, okay, I'm here to promo Freedoms Phoenix, and I will get into that. And since we have a very short amount of time, I've been the editor-in-chief of Freedoms Phoenix for about 4 years now. I can't remember when this thing actually first started up, but it's been quite a few years we've been doing Freedoms Phoenix. And at some point prior to that, I was actually running my own little news server for Arizona News exclusively. I got all the websites of all the different newspapers that there are in the state of Arizona that had websites back then, and I'd get all these really great little local news stories that I put up, and then I was sending them out to basically the talk radio stations. And I was originally doing it basically to set up to support both Ernie and Charles Goyette, another talk show host, so they get their stuff done ahead of time.
Well, we are going to have high times here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, Declare Your Independence with Jet Lacy show in just a moment.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
No, it's not Ernest Hancock. It's Jet Lacy on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. And we have Powell Gamble back here, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. But most of what we're going to be talking about is about Freedom's Phoenix. And I've asked Ernie to talk about it, and I think it's because it's his that he sort of doesn't want to. So I'm going to take this opportunity to really talk about what Freedom's Phoenix means. And what Freedom's Phoenix means to me, I believe, is what Freedom's Phoenix should mean to everyone. And I'm not trying to speak universally. I just feel that Freedom's Phoenix is meant, it was created for everyone to be a journalist if they see fit. I'm a journalist. I've never been to school. I'm a journalist because I say I am, right?
That's probably why you're a better journalist than somebody who went to school. You know, when I first started college, I started out as a reporter in journalism school for about 2 months, and I didn't like what I was basically writing in order to get on the front page of this school newspaper. It was basically yellow journalism. It wasn't untrue. And essentially, you could argue, I do yellow journalism even on Freedom's Phoenix, but it's basically you're telling the truth, but you're trying to crank it in such a way that it's really intriguing and interesting. But in this case, there were things I was doing where I'd report things that were absolutely true, where somebody had disclosed something to me that I was certain they didn't want disclosed in writing, but they never requested it remain confidential. So I'd go ahead and do it. And I had the tapes to back up the interview that I was never requested to do something confidentially. But after a couple of months of that, it was just like, eh. But at any rate, I'm just telling you that my background first started the same thing. And I became fairly quickly disenchanted with journalism. And after a year's worth of journalism classes, I switched my major. I can pretty much tell you that the so-called journalistic ethics is BS, and it should be BS. And anybody out there is in fact a qualified journalist. If you have something that you're passionate about that interests you, or you see a story that interests you, the odds are, whether you believe it or not, that they'll interest other people. And Freedom's Phoenix does give you the forum to actually post it or your opinions fairly readily. We have letters to the editor that were pretty generous in what we put up or not put up. Now, it may not go on the front page, but if you go to the letters to the editor, there's a drop-down menu that basically lets you write a letter to the editor, and underneath that, there's to open up and access the letters that have been posted. And you can see right now, I think the top letter is critical of Ernie and this gun issue. Somebody's very upset over it, and is like, absolutely, we love that sort of thing. Now, are there occasionally some things we don't put up? Yeah, there are occasionally just some weird things that come in by people that, frankly, are probably mentally disturbed.
Yeah.
That we ultimately just, yeah, it's not worth the effort of putting, it's not worth the electrons.
Yeah, it's not worth, it's so scattered or partisan or out there that it just doesn't make sense with what's going on, or it doesn't reflect what's going on in society.
Now, at the top of that page, along with the letters to the editor button that you can select from to do a letter to the editor, you can also submit a news story. You have a news story. You know, you don't have to be a member, a logged in subscriber, or anything. You click down, and there is a it'll drop down. It's a button that says "Be a Reporter," which is probably not a classic, but I think actually, if you do submit, we send out a invitation to become a reporter for Freedom's Phoenix. But anyway, like I said, you can submit whatever interests you, and it can even be a local news item. I don't think we really want to get into that, but we do actually have categories. You'll see on right today's Arizona's top news. We have Arizona news. We have a couple other states that have their own news category, and we're more than willing to add, frankly, all 50 states.
Yeah, actually, tomorrow I have Ed Vallejo on. for the second hour to talk about his own particular edition. You can actually have your own edition if you want to have news that focuses on your area of interest or expertise. You can have that.
Yeah, actually, what's cool about that, it is buggy, and Ed's literally the only one that really takes advantage of it now and has struggled through it. And I hate to say it's buggy, but the source code for Freedom's Phoenix is actually very substantial. There's literally one guy writing it, and it's very tough on him now. And I'm really hoping when Ernie gets back that there's going to be good news on potentially expanding the source code writers so that we can do multiple things at the same time.
But the ultimate thing is that everybody...
Absolutely, and the beauty of it is, if you hate Freedom's Phoenix, you know, you are a Republican Kool-Aid drinker. I'll put it out there for you, man. I left the Republican Party several years ago, and I'm never coming back. Or a Democratic Party, you're rah-rah, you wave the flag, the donkey, or the elephant, I don't care, and you say, I hate Freedom's Phoenix. If I was going to do it, you know, we're constantly getting these emails from people saying, if you don't do it my way, I'm leaving, which, of course, is like, you know, whatever. But you could actually literally set up your own Republican Freedom's Phoenix or something on one of these editor pages and literally publish your own newsletter. Exactly, it'd be exactly the same format, etc., of Freedom's Phoenix with your own articles, etc. It's actually an amazing concept, and it's very much an Ernie concept. It's his idea of just kind of, you sort of provide it and make it open and see who shows up and does things.
That's right. That's the libertarian ethic, really. And I speak of being a libertarian with a small L. It's how I live my life. It's you live your life as you see fit. You believe what you want to believe. As long as those beliefs or those actions don't interfere with my life, God bless you. Do your thing. And sort of Freedom's Phoenix, that's exactly the way it is. Like, I go and post up my own articles. And, you know, in my last article, I was speaking about when it comes right down to it, if it isn't Powell Gammill or Ernest Hancock, it ain't Freedom's Phoenix. That doesn't mean you don't have an equal voice, right?
That's true. We control, you know, we control the front page. Basically, if you submit an article, it is extremely rare that that article is not in the database and is not accessible both by Google search engines and by the second page and the more news buttons that you'll find on the front page. But we decide what goes on the front page. I mean, that's just life. And whether or not yours goes up or not is, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Well, I mean, the only ones I've ever seen, and that's there's one person I won't name that threatened Ernie because he didn't like his placement with being, you know, having the FBI called on him. And, you know, well, that's a really good way to get, you know, axed from the front page of Freedom's Phoenix. And I don't mean that to be like, you know, incendiary or anything. But if you go around making idle threats and whatever, when someone is actually trying to help you and promote you and give you a free voice, that's the only one I know of that's ever got kicked off the front page.
Yeah, that actually is the only person who's ever been tossed off the front page. He's still a writer. He still submits things infrequently, and it's there. We don't take him down, although that's what he says, but we just don't put him up on the front page.
But yet anymore. He still has a voice. So, if someone wants to go to page two, there's a more news page. There's a page two page. You know, I haven't ever had anything, you know, as incendiary as I might be. You know, I have some really strong beliefs about things, and I'm willing to go out there and say them. And part of the reason I'm willing to go out there and say them is because I have an outlet that will allow me to do that. And people might not agree with me. I don't care. That's not what I'm about. I'm about saying what is important to me.
Yeah, I'd say that our where we draw the line is probably two areas. One, if you advocate the initiation of force or fraud on somebody, of course, there's plenty of people say, well, they actually initiated it on me, so I'm simply responding to that. And it's like, you know, you gotta try to figure out where that line is, where you cross it. But the other, The other thing is, I imagine if it's really, 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 really going to doink somebody in the government to come and take a really strong look at us, we're going to be thinking real hard as whether or not we want this at least on the front page.
Yeah, just going back to the fact of we were talking about in the last hour with Pastor Anderson. We've had him here doing interviews in the studio. We've had him here at some of our functions. We've, you know, reported on both sides of his issue. Even it's a really interesting story.
I mean,
to be honest,
it's interesting. It's also interesting. We get people that really are strong supporters of him who get really ticked off when we publish links to both homosexual community and recently the I don't know whether you'd call it anti-violence or pro or anti-gun community that have been posting derogatory things about him. But I would much rather those things be up and available then than be, let's say, at a news conference somewhere for some reason and then have this just come out of the blue, me not knowing anything about it. And I'd rather confront it ahead of time. Plus, it doesn't really matter. You know, the thing that's admirable about Steven Anderson, first and foremost, he stood up to these internal checkpoints. This thing was like 60 miles north of the border, and there's no direct route to Mexico on this interstate highway that they had this permanent internal checkpoint set up at, which by Supreme Court rule, they can only essentially ask your citizenship status and maybe a couple of the questions, and then they have to let you go. Well, they didn't do that. They first drug sniffed his car.
Or a human.
Well, that's what they claim. And it's like, yeah, of course, there's a human in the car, so how can you, every car has a human in it,
We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah! We are back with the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, Jet Lacy Show. How you doing? I'm Jet Lacy, and I'm here with Powell Gammel, and we're talking about Freedom's Phoenix and how everybody, who, no matter who they are, no matter what they have to say, with some very slight exceptions, has the ability to have a voice on Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Anyway, part of the thing that I enjoy the most out of Freedom's Phoenix is the comment section. Anybody can post, repost actually, in articles that they find poignant. And then the more poignant the article, the more comments you tend to get. And the more radical the article, the more comments you tend to get. And I personally use it to actually make points and make statements. Sometimes I take the devil's advocate stance. You know, I posted an article about Pastor Anderson a couple weeks ago, and some people that are even my friends, like that I consider very good friends, were deeply, deeply angry with me. And I can live with that because I didn't know before all this happened with Pastor Anderson in the news everywhere. To be honest, I didn't know what he preached. I knew that there was some people here, you know, that even come to this and readers of Freedom's Phoenix that were members of his congregation. I don't get down. I don't get down like that with my God. It's a real personal thing, and I don't go to any particular church. But I don't, you know, hold it against anybody else that wants to get their God on in the way that they so choose. But anyway, getting back to the comments on Freedom's Phoenix, sometimes you'll get 10, 15, 20 comments from readers. And what you'll find on Freedom's Phoenix is that the readership is very intelligent for the most part. But what's cool also is that it ranges from the very liberal to the ultra conservative. And it's really cool because you can get all kinds of viewpoints. And if you have your mind open to it, you can learn a lot of different things. And so I know that Powell uses the comment section, even despite the fact that he's the editor-in-chief, and I use it. Anyone can use it. And I think that, personally, is my favorite part about Freedom's Phoenix.
Yeah, I got to admit, the thing even though I don't know whether I agree that all the comments are particularly intelligent, people are actually pretty good about leaving cuss words out of the, or at least putting an asterisk or two in them. In the comments, which pleases me. I don't have to sit there and censor something.
Are you talking about me?
No, not really. But actually, I was really pleased at that. You were the first one to basically posted a anti-Steven Anderson article. And I wasn't surprised. I knew he was a essentially Old Testament-styled Baptist preacher. So Helen Brimstone, and it didn't surprise me that he was anti-homosexual thing. And it's like, okay, that's your deal. That has nothing to do with being stopped at the border, though. It's like, you know, that's the thing to focus on. It's like, you know, this other stuff's distraction, and if, you know, it's like, I don't care. I don't even care if it was Adolf Hitler who complained about it. I'd still be supporting the man here. I'm violating Godwin's law by bringing up Hitler, but I just sit there and go, you know, the sole function, even homosexuals should be supporting Anderson on this. They're a discriminated group, and I could certainly see these checkpoints evolving into, so what's your sexual orientation, and maybe demanding it's put on your license or something down the road.
Yeah, or with the new, you know, the healthcare initiative, everything that you do is going to be part of an electronic record.
Yeah, it already is. By law, they're supposed to have implemented, but of course it can't be. It's an enormous undertaking. Essentially, if you're a little FBI COINTELPRO piece of crap that's been assigned something to infiltrate and break up some little protest group in some way, wouldn't it be nice to be able to look up the medical records of everybody and say, ooh, two of these people have had venereal diseases, and oh my God, this guy's got AIDS. I bet he's a homosexual.
Or if you admitted to your doctor that you were a homosexual and he put it on the record.
And in fact, they tell doctors now to ask about guns. Do you own guns in the house? And to make sure that goes into the records.
Yeah. I actually tell my doctor, like, certain things that, you know, being an ex-nurse, I'm wise to their game. And while I still want to have a positive and open relationship with my doctor, I'll mention now and again that I'd appreciate if that didn't go in my record. I would just rather have you and I understand where I'm coming from, and that's it. I don't need anyone else to know. So, you know, these are things that you might want to try too. Like, an open relationship with your doctor is very valuable. And what they can write about you, and especially if they're just being honest, if you point out the fact that maybe I don't want everybody in the world to know about this, but I'd still like to tell you in the spirit of fair play and honesty, you know, that works.
Yeah, one thing back to the comments section that's nice about comments is it allows you to post anonymously, and it allows you to quickly post something, and sometimes we find great hints. Somebody says, yeah, they're doing that here, too.
Well, anyway, that was a quick 7 minutes with Powell Gammel, and we'll be right back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show on the Republic Broadcast Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
That's right. We'll hunt you down without mercy. Well, I won't, but they might. Whoever they are. Anyway, we're back here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. My name's Jet Lacey, and I'm man in the captain's chair for whatever reason. And I have Powell Gammel, the senior editor of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. We're talking about Freedoms Phoenix and why it's an important outlet for news as a portal. Why is it important that everybody that wants to read something, you know, has a voice? almost probably 95% of the articles that are posted on freedomsphoenix.com are posted by readers. You know, Powell and Ernie, you know, they post stuff that is relevant, that they feel that is relevant, and that's really cool. However, the bulk of it is actual readers. And that's what that's the my favorite thing, really, other than the comment section. That anyway, how do you feel about that?
Well, there are some times that I find somebody posts something and I go, where the heck did they find this? I mean, just like obscure or whatever. And sometimes I'll actually try to figure out how they could detect something. You know, it's literally breaking news is usually what amazes me. And I sit there and go, wow, this is a great story.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. There's so many outlets for news nowadays with the internet. And that's something that I'd like to touch on. The mainstream media is so yesterday. Ernie says it's so last century. And I call it going the way of the dinosaur. That's why you have all of these, the Gray Lady, the New York Times, you know, the New York Post, all these people. Now they got their hands out for a bailout. Why? Because everybody knows that they are part of the machine. They are part of the machine that says whatever the big corporations want them to. I mean, look at NBC. NBC is owned by General Electric. General Electric is one of the largest military contractors in the world. Do you think that General Electric is going to allow NBC to say anything contrary to what makes GE money? Right?
Yeah, we have a problem. It's been that way probably since the friggin' founding, certainly for the last 100 years, with corporate media basically controlling what everybody sees. And now the corporate media has lost the edge. People are seeing more and more of the truth, and are seeing more and more of the manipulation, or at least they're being exposed to less of the manipulation. And the news media for a while was very panicking and belittling the bloggers and the internet phenomenon. They're no longer doing that because they're losing their advertisers left and right, and they're going out of business. So yes, they want a bailout. They want taxpayers to basically turn them into a still surviving buggy whip manufacturer and produce their pabulum. And people say, well, Freedom Phoenix, you do nothing more than just reference these mainstream news media outlets. What happens when these things go under and you no longer have these things linked to it? And I'm going, hey, it ain't going to stop the news. It's still, you know, that's part of what we're setting up right now is people reporting it. And it's like you can start reporting your own friggin' news.
That's all the Drudge Report does. That's the number one news portal on the internet. All they do is regurgitate other people's stories.
And Drudge Report, especially if you're interested in the right-wing side of things, is a very good source. They're contemporary. They do an excellent job. And if you're on the left, progressive side, hopefully not the Democratic side, but if you're progressive, I love progressives. But Raw Story is the left side of somebody who provides very good up-to-minute links to the left side of things.
Actually, Raw Story was where I got the original link to the Pastor Anderson story about him talking about, you know, the wanting the death of Obama and, you know, wanting to stone homosexuals and adulterers. And I didn't, you know, I know that on Freedom's Phoenix, there's a lot of people that are my friends that follow Pastor Anderson, and I didn't mean anything by reposting that article. To be honest, when I reposted that, I reposted it as simply something to open up the lines of communication. I'm what's called, I know everybody calls me a pot stirrer. You know, I put up the radical stuff. It could be right, it could be left, it could be something. If I feel, and that's part of me being a journalist because I say so, if I say that it's relevant, it can be. And sometimes I tend to put up things that will sort of energize people's thought processes.
Freedom's Phoenix was started by a bunch of pot stirrers.
Yeah.
And maybe a few pot smokers, too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, you know.
I don't ask. But I sit there and I go, you know, like I said, what is interesting? Well, what's interesting is controversy. And, you know, Pastor Anderson being accused of saying we should kill homosexuals, well, that's controversial. Well, I wouldn't want to die to that. Steven Anderson's already in the news for his activities at these internal checkpoints. So it's like, yeah, is it relevant? Sure it is, because I'd rather have the discussion going on now out in the open rather than literally be blindsided at the worst possible moment later. I mean, because the beauty of it is if they basically try to attack you later when it matters, you just say, you know, we've already discussed this. This has been on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, this is what you call this news. This is news. It's been out there. Where you been?
Yeah, open minds are free minds. It's something that, and what's cool is in the control room, I had a conversation with Chris B., you know, who is a follower of Pastor Anderson. And there's other people that have gotten upset over what I've done. But I was like, hey, I didn't even know he was a follower. You know, I said, hey, do you know who Pastor Anderson is? He's like, yes, I go to his church. I was like, oh, my God, did you see the article that I posted on Freedom's Phoenix? And he's like, yes. He actually said, no, I didn't. But I was like, oh, my God. And I kind of talked to him about what was entailed in the blog that reported what they had said about Pastor Anderson. And he said, simply, Pastor Anderson preaches the Bible as literal, as it was written. And that's why I go to Pastor Anderson. And you know what? I can both live with that and respect that. And because he is an honest young man, and he did not, I can tell you this from the bottom of my heart, because I know Chris Broughton, that he did not, his affiliation with Pastor Anderson had nothing to do with why he brought that AR-15 to the VFW convention outside. It was a simple exercising of his rights.
Now, I think he made that quite clear, which had to frustrate the media something fierce. He basically said, hey, I do it because I can. In Arizona, I have the right to openly carry. He goes, I'm from Ohio, which is an open carry state, but we've lost the right to open carry, not because anything's changed in the Constitution. It's basically the police officers will come and they'll arrest you for being out, and they'll pull their guns on you and order you to the ground and, you know, do whatever, disarm you. And you sit there and go, you know, that's a good case. It's like, you know, if you don't use the right, if you don't exercise that right, like Ed Vallejo says, if you know, rights are like muscles. If you don't exercise them, they atrophy.
That's right. They actually go away. If you do not use your rights, they will not be available to you. As a nurse, I've seen a lot of people that have been laying in the bed for extended periods of time, and their muscles are nothing. They couldn't get up and walk on their own if they wanted to. Even though those muscles are still there, they have withered to the point of ineffectualness. They are no longer effective to elevate their body from the horizontal position. And it's really kind of, it's so true that I don't know, man. It just kind of gets me all worked up. You know what I'm saying?
Is this where we start to talk about vaccines?
I don't know, man. Whatever.
Is this your segue into vaccines?
Yeah, we're talking about vaccines now. We're going to segue. Thank you for that. Because we had talked about it at the break. You know, because what is your actual, what did you go to school to be?
Well, like I said, I started out as a reporter, but I ended up being a microbiologist. And I always loved science, so it was kind of a semi-natural thing. And actually, one of the things that got me out of reporting was Watergate broke about a while after I had started journalism school, and suddenly everybody wanted to be a reporter, and it was no longer any fun when everybody starts to want to be something. So I decided, the heck with it. I got into science, which is another fascinating area to me. And microbiology was the thing that just interested me the most. And actually, molecular biology, even smaller, biochemistry, even more still. But at any rate, I have a bachelor's and master's in this. And I was a public health servant.
What did you help set up?
I was a clinical virologist, person that studies viruses, for the Arizona State Public Health Lab for 7 years. And then for an additional little over 4 years, I helped set up the state's bioterrorism. Actually, I created it, the bioterrorism detection laboratory section that they had, and I managed it for a little over 4 years.
And
I should say this, that I was part of the, while I was a virologist, I was part of the nationwide flu surveillance program every year, where we collected, you know, over 100 isolates from around the state that would be sent to us either for confirmation or other reference work. And we would send on the more interesting viral growths, et cetera, viral isolates onto the Center for Disease Control for their testing. And that would actually go on to some international testing group.
Like WHO or something, you know, World Health Organization.
Yes, exactly, World Health Organization.
So how do you feel about the scare, quotes, that they're doing with the swine flu? You know, I refuse to just call it H1N1 because they actually came out and said that we're not going to call it swine flu anymore. We're calling it H1N1 as opposed to the H5N1, which is the bird flu.
We had idiot countries, I think Malaysia. Sorry if I'm wrong on that and calling you an idiot in Malaysia, but where they actually slaughtered like over 1 million pigs because it was called swine flu, which was insane because it had really, in this particular case, nothing really to do with it. They were just, it looked good. Oh, see, we're saving you from the swine flu by slaughtering all the pigs, even though the price of pork will now, you know, triple, quadruple or whatever for the next year.
What's the relevance of the swine flu as opposed to other seasonal flus?
Flus, the theory goes, and it's a pretty good one, start out in Asia, typically China. The thought is because of the close proximity of pigs with people there that you get these amplifications. Influenza actually has a very broad infection population. It infects birds, it infects mammals, and it now they're specialized versions of that, which is why you hear the avian influenza and swine influenza and human influenza. But the nature of influenza, the virus, is it's very easy for it to recombine. And when it becomes its most dangerous is when you get an occasional infection with a virus that's specialized for humans that happens to be in, let's say, a pig or some other animal that is with its own viruses that tend to specialize in that host. And you actually can get recombinations where you end up with viruses being produced as offspring that have different activities than the original two parents. And they may or may not be more aggressive, more deadly in when they get into us again. And actually, you actually have more incidences where you get these livestock and particularly chicken houses where these animals are very closely packed densely together, where you can literally get entire flocks wiped out virtually from these outbreaks of various recombined viral events.
Are all influenza viruses airborne?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they are. I'm sure there's some mutants that aren't, but they die off pretty fast. Every influenza is airborne. Now, I will say that the idea is that these things start up in the winter in China, actually their winter, which is our summer, but they come over, they basically go up northern towards approaching Europe, and then from Europe they actually migrate over on birds. So you end up with basically avian forms coming over, and they set up in North America. We have our influenza outbreaks that start around this time, this month, coming up September, and then they pass down to South America from there and die out. And the cycle repeats itself. So the thing that's very unusual about the swine flu, the H1N1 that's been recent, is that there's been a continuous isolation of this throughout the summer, which is extremely rare. It's not rare to have a few isolates in Arizona. We get them infrequently, but it's literally a handful during the summertime. There's like no influenza activity.
Well, it's hot here.
Exactly. The temperature, the rule of thumb is the temperature gets above a certain point and flu dies out.
Absolutely. So, and it isn't just airborne. It's, you know, it's on contacts
and
things
correct.
Like that.
People generally, you know, you cough or whatever, this stuff gets on a surface. Yeah. People cough in their hands and shake other people's hands. Besides airborne, the most common route of influenza infection is rubbing your eyes after you've touched a contaminated surface.
Right.
Or anything else, I suppose, picking your nose or picking your ear or something, but you know, we'll not turn off too many people.
We won't go there.
Will say this: you subconsciously do this. You're completely unaware of it. If you ever touch anything black, like charcoal or something, and then people say, "Well, what's wrong with your face, man?" and you're like, "It's you just don't realize how often you touch your face." You know,
what would be my question to you is, what would be the impetus for the government to come out worldwide? You know, World Health Organization, all these different agencies to say, you're going to need a series of three vaccines injected into your body and maybe without your consent in order to stave off this pandemic that is, they say, is imminent.
Yeah, they had already approved the initial flu vaccine for this year. And so it was already literally being grown up and raring to go when they finally decided that this influenza, swine flu, was not going away for some reason. It was acting very abnormal. And the problem I have with that, though, is it's not only is it acting abnormal, but it's actually fairly present throughout the population. And, you know, it's not a huge amount, but it's not an insignificant amount. And whenever you have an infectious disease that does that, that's prevalent in a broad population, it's going to have a very difficult time breaking back into that population the next year, because a significant portion of the population is going to have antibodies and resistance to it.
We'll talk about that when we get back. We have 5 minutes left. I just want to talk about the virulence of the H1N1/swine flu when we get back. It's the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. I'm feeling a little bit zesty at this hour because we're almost done with the first show I've ever done. And, you know, Drew keeps telling me not to say it, but, you know, he goes, you know, keep doing it till you're a professional or whatever. I don't know.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till I make it. Anyway, we're here with Paolo Gamel, and we're talking about the flu virus. And we, in our last 5 minutes, I just wanted to sort of wrap this all up in a really neat package about, you know, the vaccinations and why that we need a series of, the government says that we need a series of three vaccinations that are frankly full of adjuvants, which are, you know, things that allow the immune system to respond more actively. Which, you know, with every good comes a bad, and every bad comes a good. And when you really, really stimulate the immune system, you know, you can get some really nice things like arthritis and lupus and things like that. And there's a lot of bad things that are coming out of these adjuvants. So let's talk about why we need a three series.
Okay, so I got up to the point where they had the regular flu shot approved and going. So now they decide, okay, we need swine flu. Well, you can't really add that to the current preparation because the stuff's already growing up, the initial batches, not without causing probably about a 4 to 6 week delay. Plus, to do a triple or even a quadruple, which they were discussing, virus presence at the same time is very tricky to do from a standpoint of a virologist growing it up. So that's where the second ones come in, and I'll let you know a dirty little secret. The flu vaccine is not good for the entire flu season. So if you get the flu vaccine early in the flu season, which is, you know, if you're going to do it, that's what you want to do, it's not going to protect you towards the end. And the bad news is, if you look at it from a historical standpoint, the end of a flu season is generally where the very worst, most deadly flu strains come out and wreak havoc, if they're going to. Most of the time they don't. But, you know, beware the Ides of March has real significance in the flu thing. For all I know, that's what it actually was derived from. I don't know. But anyway,
Can I ask you a question? Are you going to get the flu vaccines?
No.
And why?
I will say this. If I was probably 60 years of age, I probably would.
Really? Yeah.
Now, you know, whatever.
Despite the mercury and.
Yeah, and that pisses me off. There's no doubt about it. There's no excuse for using mercury anymore, except for the fact the FDA, if you took it out of the vaccines, the FDA would say, okay, you got to rerun your clinical trials all over again. And the vaccine manufacturers are like, screw that. We are not going to spend that kind of money. We don't make enough money off this as it is. Heck, that's what this whole vaccine program is about, is using taxpayer money to support the few remaining vaccine manufacturers to keep producing vaccine.
But is not mercury toxic to the central nervous system?
Absolutely. It's an accumulative neurotoxin. Now, it is in small amounts, so yeah, is it going to still do some damage? Yeah. Is it going to be noticeable damage? No, not likely. I mean, hell, I've gotten an awful lot of vaccinations in my life, and I'm sure it only lowered my IQ by a 20.
Well, you know, you have a long way to go down before.
Far less than this fourth beer in the studio.
But anyway, you have a long way to go down than some of the rest of us. So, you know, Mr. Scientist. But anyway, he's awesome. And thank you so much, pal, for showing up here.
My pleasure.
You know, helping me out on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. And we're going to be back tomorrow with Ed Vallejo. He's a super activist. I'm going to go for it again the first hour, and then I'm going to have a guest the second hour. And we're going to have a really good time. And hopefully, if I can sweet talk Drew, he'll come back in here and run the board so I don't have to, you know, run like the Flash back and forth. Anyway, we will see you tomorrow on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. See ya!